July 20th, 1981. We're at the project office in Barrow talking to Roxy Ikawana and Ross Ungasuk about Barrow history. The other day we were talking about the use of various kinds of fuel, and you were discussing blubber as it's used as fuel. So I wondered if we could, if you could discuss some about how the blubber was prepared for use as a fuel.
The blubber would be prepared almost the same between the seal and the whale blubber. Once the blubber was taken out from whale, they had to haul it in and put it into ice cellars. As it is needed, we had to pull it out of the ice cellar and put it inside of the house and start cutting it into pieces small enough so we can put it inside the through the door of the stove.
Yeah, could you estimate how big that
That would be somewhere around, say, probably 4 by 3
4 inches. By 3 inches?
Yeah, 4 by 3 inches. And it would be just somewhere around 2 inch thick. When we get it from the seal, once they had the seal inside of the house, they skin it. And take the blubber out of the skin, which is somewhere around 2 inch thick or so. And then they cut that almost the same size as indicated before, by 3 by 4, which is just about the thickness of a 2 inch already when it is taken out of the skin of the seal. When they do that, they put away part of it which they are not using. See, all of the blubber which is taken out of the seal does not used right away, so they have to put away some of it and put it out on the entryway where they can get it later on.
Then they can just take that raw blubber and put it in the stove?
Yeah.
Do you have to make a fire to get it going in there, or how does it
burn? Yeah. We have to use some dry sod. Then what we have, like a small kindling out of wood, we started the fire first in the stove, and then put a little bit of a blubber over it, and then as a starter, then we can put the dry sod over the fire and then the blubber on top of it. So that's how we keep the fire going for cooking and heating at the same time.
Did you always have to have sod in there along with the blubber
together? Yes, we have to. In some cases, if the driftwood is available, that would be also be in place of sod too. Whether it's wet wood or old wood or something like that, that can go in place of a sod.
Okay.
Or even if we don't have the sod handy, sometimes the old clothing, like old boots or old parkas that has been worn out, can also be used to be used in the stove in place of sod and wood. Just so the melting blubber won't rip through the grates down to the ash pit.
How much blubber would you put in at one piece?
Just a piece at a time, about the size of, say, 2 by 3 by 4, almost the size of that. It depends on how big your the stove is and how hot you want the stove to be.
And how long would the blubber last as a fuel? I mean,
you mean
trying to get some idea of one seal, if you used it for fuel, how long would it serve the family? I think you said the other day, when we were talking the other day, I think you said you'd have to get a family would need one seal a day if they were going to use it for fuel.
When they take care of it, when they want to last, they just use it for cooking, mostly. And it can last, say, probably about in 2 days, just for cooking.
That's one
thing. My guess is right.
Yeah.
You know, the fuel, the blubber is so scarce in most cases, so we don't play with it.
Could you use that blubber at all for light, or?
Yes. We had seal oil lamps made out of soapstone, and some would have lamps made out of copper. I have seen some of those in different homes.
How would they prepare the blubber to use in that lamp to get it burning?
Once they got the blubber, after they cut it up in pieces, especially for the lamps use, they had it cut in slabs about 1 inch thick, or a little bit more, 1 1/4 inches or so, something like that. And then they freeze it, put it in the entryway, and after it is frozen, they had a block of some kind, like like the ones that they got out of the tail of the whale, which doesn't have the part of the backbone of whale towards the tail, which is round in size. And they had that bone just slipped out of my mind.
Anvil?
Yeah, anvil. Something like, he used it as an anvil. Yeah. And then they had a mallet made out of bone. I mean, made out of a rock. And they pumped that into that anvil so it will melt easier when they get it inside of the house. And then after enough of that is pounded. And then what they have pounded, they put it into a container and then put it inside of the house and just set it by the lamp, the warmth of the room would thaw the blubber, and it can turn into liquid in the container, especially the ones that they fetch from the seal blubber. But the ones that are gotten out of a whale blubber, it's a little bit tougher, you know, in some cases, especially from the older, the bigger whales. And in some cases, they had the pin sticking out of the wall, which they put a hole in the wall and then had the pin stuck into that hole over the lamp. And after they had the lamp lit, they put one slab, which has been pounded already, and shove it through that pin and let it hang. And that way, the liquid of that rubber would be dripping into the lamp and continually supplying by dripping down into the oil supply of the lamp. We call that ayakhrak.
We call that
ayakhrak. Okay,
good. That's the name for it when it's hanging in that yeah. type of blubber that's hanging to drip.
Yeah. And from the heat of the fire from the lamp, you can almost have cooked that blubber. When the liquid has already soaked out of it, when nothing was dripping anymore, a lady would take the thing out and squeeze it more out. What the liquid still contains in that rubber, she squeezed it out into the container there. And then she can give it to any of the family, and we can eat it like that. It's kind of dry and crispy. It's real good to eat.
And that's what's called that name that you just mentioned.
Ayakhra.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what are you talking about, this ayakhrak? They used to call that oil that's been hanging, that's ayakhrak.
Yeah.
And that wooden stick that come to the wall, they used to call it ayakhrakivik.
Would that stick that went into the wall be a certain shape so that you would... You know, if we dug one up, you would recognize that.
Yeah.
Ayakhrak.
Ayakhrak pick.
Ayakhrak pick. I think it's just about the size.
About the size of your, about as big around as your middle finger?
Yeah.
And about how long?
About so, about 10 inches long or so.
About 10 inches long. Is it kind of pointed on the end?
Or yes, it's kind of pointed on the end.
Oh. So probably every house would have one of those or maybe more? Yeah,
just one of those. And one would be something the shape of that, but that would be used to trim the wick of the lamp while it's burning. You have to trim it in order not to let the smoke get out of from the fire itself.
Yes.
Just to keep it trimmed down so it will be smoking. We call that atkum.
Atkum?
Atkum. You can tell the difference because the point of that atkum will be kind of black and had some burning kind of black at the point.
How did they use it to trim the...
They just tamp it down, tamp the moss.
Oh.
The dry moss, something.
Okay. The lamp always has a piece of moss in it. Then
yeah.
For a wick. Yeah. And then every once in a while they have to tamp it with this stick.
Yeah, tamp it or make it kind of real good shape.
Yeah. So that stick almost looks like the other stick,
yeah.
Except it's usually a little blackened.
Blackened in the, at the tip. It's kind of rounded. They use that stick even to have a little bit of a light, like a lantern or a flashlight, when they had to get out into the entryway to look for something. They lit that from the burner itself, and while it's where they take it out, that's why that point of it is kind of blackened, kind of ash, you know.
They dip it in the oil and,
yeah.
And give it light. Yeah.
Call that atkum. Or nanero.
Now, when they're going to use the blubber for food, do they have another way of preparing it?
Yes. There's two ways of preparing it. Either they use it as is while frozen, especially the whale blubber. They cut it in small pieces.
This is muktuk or muktuk?
No. They eat that with the meat when they have to. When they don't have too much of the prepared one in pokes. Especially at this time of the year when they got ugug, they had prepared a seal skin, made it into a poke and dried the inside out, turn it inside out, the fur inside, and when it is good and dry, when they had ugruk blubber, they cut that blubber in strips and put it into that poke. And leave the air out so it won't get bitter, you know. And then after it's the liquid separates from the solid, we use that for dipping the meat and eat with it. And on the other hand, we when they don't have that, they get the frozen blubber out of whale and use that instead, only cut in small pieces, just enough to put in your mouth. You eat that with the meat, along with the meat. You put meat in your mouth, and at the same time, a small piece of blubber, of frozen blubber, with it.
So the mizraq is the oil from the whale?
Yeah, it can also be made out of a whale.
Or it's a seal, too.
Yeah, the hulk or seal, any of these three. And the people who care to can make that out of the walrus blubber also. Just like preparing the strips from Ugruk blubber into pulp, they can also put that walrus blubber into pulp too, which is very good. I like that.
Well, I could say a little bit about the blubber. We used to, our mothers used to pull a good size of blubber, whale blubber.
2 foot square?
Well, that long, that thick, that wide. And they used to let it take us into the house while it's frozen. And they take that outside all cleaned up. The outside pieces, take it all off and start to cut it up while it's frozen for to use on the lamb the way he's talking about. And when they put the piece of oil at what they have chopped while it's frozen, to the anvil.
But they pound it up.
Yeah. Well, that oil hanging in there for quite a while, right above the Eskimo lamb. Gee, that thing when it's dried up, no oil on it, I mean liquid, it's good eating. It's good eating.
Kind of smoked or... Mm-hmm.
Well, when they make an oil to use when we eat a meat, we use that oil. That's what he's talking about. No matter how long they cut it up, just to narrow, cut it up. No matter how long or any length, they put it into the pulp for mizraq, what we call it. And this for a lamb, what we call it weak. They gotta find it special from up further in the land somewhere in here in the tundra.
Oh, the moss for the weak.
Yeah,
it's not quite moss, but it's different sod. Mm-hmm. The ones that had. That had grains up and down. the top of it is kind of smooth in some places. Not all the way, but in some where the ground is uneven. In a small place like this, say about 4 feet wide, there are little humps on the ground. When you find that, it's kind of, what color is that? It's almost like...
Well, it's like that paper, it's kind of dark now.
Only...
kind of yellow?
Yeah. It's kind of dark.
Yellow, brownish color. But no grass growing in that.
I think I know what you mean, yeah.
It's just about that thick. We just take that off and let it dry. And after it's dry, the women fix it up in their hands and put it on that lamp and soak with it with oil as a starter and rip that thing. That's why that atkun is needed to trim that thing without burning your fingers.
Does that have a special name for that particular kind of moss?
Manik.
Manik.
Wow.
Manik.
I think I saw some of that out on the Mead River once. Yeah.
You can see it out here across the water lake, right near those radars, this side of them. Somewhere in that area.
Is that where people would used to go?
Yes, yeah.
Just right outside the landing field here.
Uh-huh. When you make that oil to take and make the, you rub it on the umiak when it comes out of the water to keep it from drying out. Is that seal oil?
Especially on the seams.
Yeah.
The seal oil.
Is that Miserak or is that a different type of...
It can be Miserak.
Yeah.
As long as it's liquid. Or it can be a piece of blubber, rub the seams with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're going to keep the boat for a while, instead of using it, they used to use that oil, sea oil, to fill the seam, what they have. So when it's dry, it's open. Yeah. If they don't use the oil to use it. use a lot of help.
That would close it, help close it up, that seam.
It don't close it up too much, but it helps from getting bristle, you know.
Yeah, keep it from cracking.
Yeah, keep it from cracking or too dry. Otherwise, if you just leave it right there, like that in the sun, the threads that the seam they use might break because... when the skins are too dry, they shrink. And there's a danger of ripping that seam. In order to keep it from doing that, they had to rub it with seal oil or whale oil of any kind.
Well, when the white people are making a boat, some out of plywood or whatever is working, they use a buddy to fill those. That's, well, it's just like...
It's the same idea.
...buddy for the skin.
They can make buddy out of seal oil, too.
Huh.
They make pits from the blubber. They let it... boiled, or sometimes while it is boiling in fire, it catch fire on that. They keep stirring it, and when it gets into a real kind of thick, they quench the fire out, and after it's cool out, they use that pitch. It's kind of thick, you know, it gets thick, like pitch, and then use it on the seams.
What color is it? What does it look
it's
like?
It's kind of black. It gets black.
It's black in color.
Well, sometime I used to see those old timers. They use a caribou fat and put it on the oil, seal oil or okra oil, leave it there for quite a while to use it on the seam, on the skin. It's helped a lot too. Caribou fat.
You remember, Ross, when we were boys, we don't have too much caribou fat here. But when somebody came from inland with their boats, they sometimes still had that fat on the seam. And sometimes he and I would sneak into that boat and start eating the fat out of the skin. Well, it's good eating too.
What color was that kind of fat?
It's kind of almost the color of a fat, you know.
Oh.
It never changes too much.
I've seen around town some of the Umiaks have a. Something on the seams, but it looks like it's gray color. Have you noticed that?
This might be a caulking compound.
Probably what it is. Yeah. That's usually what it looks like.
Yeah.
So of all those uses for blubber that we've just been talking about,
yeah,
most of them they still use today.
Yeah.
They don't use the lamp anymore.
No. But if a person have to, if he's get caught out there somewhere, once he had the blubber, he still can use it. Only he can use a piece of rag for a wig, like a kerosene lamp or something. Once he had some kind of a can or something, which he can use. And the blubber, the seal blubber, can still be used for mufflers, especially the boots that are made out of seal in spring and in summer, made into water boots. They oil those with seal oil. Seal oil is best for the seams and the bottom. Because once it gets too dry, it can leak easily through the seams. So in order to keep it waterproof, they had to use seal oil to rub the lower part of the boot.
So they still, people still make all those today. They still make, they like Mizoroc.
Yeah.
Right?
We can't live without it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the white people today, maybe mostly white people can't go without butter. Same thing.
They probably don't use it much for fuel now. They would if they had to.
No.
But for food.
Yeah. For food is really important.
Well, there's a lot of using
that fuel oil for anything. Waterproof, boots, skin, whatever. That's the best for to use. There's a lot of using fuel oil. Eskimos.
If you were going to go in a house today, where would you find that kind of stuff, that blubber or oil, if you were in somebody's house today?
In most cases, it can be found on the entryways where it is handy. But if they have a small store house outside of the house, what they don't need at the moment can be stored there.
Okay, in the storehouse outside?
Yeah, in the storehouse. The ones that are already for use, but are not necessary to have, as long as they have handy ones on the entryway and some shelves, which they can get right away when the meal is ready. They can get it out the entryway. Or people who had freezers can keep misera in the freezer all the time. It has to be cool.
It has to be cool?
Yeah.
Then when they want to eat it, do they warm it up or can you
no.
eat it cold?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly eat it cold.
Even while it's kind of frozen yet before it's thawed, we still can use it.
That's used as you mentioned, though, it's used as a dip for meat.
Yeah.
Dip meat.
Yeah. Well, if you get that oil open, it's changed the taste.
Oh, not so good?
It's good, all right, but it changed the taste. Yeah. If you keep it for quite a while in open, inside the house.
So it's good to keep it in the freezer.
Right. Or in the ice cellar. What do we call it? Eskimo deep freeze cellar.
Do you have an ice cellar?
Huh?
Do you have an ice cellar?
Yeah.
You do? Right there by your house?
Yeah.
Do you have one also?
I used to have one down near Sadie, but I don't take care of it anymore. So I'm strong enough to keep it going. So.
So it's nobody's using it now?
At the moment, yes. I gave permission to let Nate rebuild it and use it himself. We cared to, since it was close to his house.
That's Sadie Neacock's husband, is
yeah.
that right? Nate Neacock.
Mm-hmm. My wife's brother.
Oh. I wonder, this is okay if you say no, but I wonder if you would let a couple of people in to look at that ice cellar with his permission.
Yeah.
I just wonder. I think these people who are digging out here would really like to have the supervisor you talked to before, Dale.
I don't
see what's in an ice cellar, what it looks like.
I don't know how it looks right now.
Well, it's just to get an idea.
I kind of get that most of the sod, which is on the top side, may have caved in. Mm. You may see just a little bit of a hole under that hole.
Oh.
But you can ask Nate or Sadie. In order to do that, you have my permission.
Okay. And if they wanted to take a look in your ice cellar, Ross, would that be okay?
Okay.
Children.
We'd take you along as a guide to show how it's, just to show how it's used and the kinds of things that are in there. It would be a good idea to go for a ride, and we could take a look at some of those places that we were talking about the other day. Okay, that black house, that's the one that came off, at least part of it came off the ship.
Yes. Came out from the old freighter. The ship is called Transit. Four-masted sailing ship made out of wood. And it was wrecked around 1913, I think. And this was the cabin at the aft, above the deck. And they cut the timber off on the bottom and then float it into the water and drag it here by sailing boats. The wreck was down somewhere about 4 miles from here at Nunavak.
And that was Bert Pennegale?
Yeah, Bert Pennegale.
Did he have, he must have made a lot of modifications to turn it into a house.
Yeah.
Did he have to dismantle the cabin, or did he just put the cabin up and then start building over
it? Yeah, or building over it. You don't dismantle it.
I think you mentioned the other day that if you went inside, you could see the original... Part of the original.
Yeah,
cabin.
The beams.
Beams and things.
The trim work, part of the trim work, if they have not covered that up. Before they built the native store building, they have that as a store. For the natives.
Yeah, okay.
When Bert was the manager of the store.
Was this the first building for the store, or did you say they had another one before this?
No, this is not the first place where the store was started. Was the second floor in one small room of the BIA school. That school was burned down in 28. Later, from there, it moved to Roy Amarawak's house. After he built an addition to his house.
Is that house still?
Yeah, that's his house. That house is no longer exists.
They just it no longer it. Exists.
No.
Okay. Where was it located?
Right by across from the stockbook.
Okay.
Where that
courthouse is.
Yeah,
now.
Courthouse is resting now.
Okay. And then from Roy Amogak's house.
No, they had the warehouse at the time. When it is taken out from Amawak's house, they remodel that warehouse and use it as a store, but not for long.
Which warehouse was that?
Later, as we go down. It has been moved away from the original location. But that was used for the store probably for about a year or more, not much more than that. And it was too cold. So when Bert Pennegill take over the managership for the store, he moved the goods to his house, which is more comfortable there. And he kept it there for quite a while before they can build another new store building. So that store building was located over here on back of a somewhere close from here. And after that,
about where ASRC building is now?
Just a little bit this side of it.
Just a little side. Yeah. Probably in the street or so.
Yeah, probably in the street, yeah. Almost at the street over close to this hotel.
Okay.
And from there, they had another warehouse, which they used as a theater one time.
Oh.
And this tall building gets a little too small, so they had to remodel that old theater to a bigger store. Part of it has burned out, and part of it